Obviously, we're taking a break from our Hebrews study, and we're going back to the theme of temptations that we've been working in here and there when we take a break. And in keeping with that theme of temptations, we start to look at some specific areas of temptation. We thought about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, but now we want to get into some areas that we may have some problems with. And the area of temptation we're going to focus on is on the internet, use of the internet, and social media. Now, with that said, I know we have a wide range of diversity among us in this area. There are those of us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc., and we engage in those platforms on a regular daily basis. There are others of you who don't own a computer. And even if you do have a smartphone, it's only to make calls and attempting to make pictures, right? That kind of thing. There's some of you in the middle, obviously. You may have accounts on some of the social media platforms, but your usage is on those sites is very limited. But there's lots of other ways we can get into trouble on the internet without just social media, but that's a big player. Now, for those of you who have little to no usage on social media or just the internet in general, I do want to encourage you to don't snooze off yet, right? Listen up anyhow, type of thing. And at least for two reasons. The first one is you never know when you might just get on the bandwagon. I don't know, I've known lots of people who said, I will never, and then they're opening up an account. Yeah, they just sent me a friend request. I thought they were never gonna do that, right? And said, and it happens, right? But also, well, you need to pay attention so you can get an idea of what your brothers and sisters in Christ who do use the internet on a regular basis and social media, what they're facing. You'll have a better understanding, a better knowledge, equipping of understanding the world around you in general with some of the general temptations of online usage. And it's going to help you to better grasp a lot of people's worldview. Now, with that said, it usually all starts out innocently enough. You log in, you start an account, you start making connections with families and friends, you follow a few pages of interest, you check in every so often just to see what's new, and it's fun, right? You know, it's neat seeing new pictures, seeing old acquaintances, you know, people you went to school with, whatever it may be, having access to new information, hearing stories from people's lives, seeing what's going on with your favorite team, your favorite TV show, musician, etc. It's all good, clean fun, right? It only consumes a little bit of your day. But with a lot of folks, right, at some point, things begin to change, right? Without even seeing it coming, things can easily spiral out of control in using the internet. You still enjoy the updates from members of your inner circles, but now your timeline can easily be, or your feed or whatever it is, can be consumed with everything else that's going on, everyone else's lives, whether innocent or not so innocent, right? You're confronted with everybody's viewpoint on every situation. Your feed's filled with things that are not in line with your core values. Pictures begin to be shared that should never see the light of day. Videos are posted that should never have been captured. Right? The memes and the GIFs or GIFs, depending on which camp you're in there, there's a big debate about that. The GIFs, friend requests, the advertisements, the invitations. And that's only on one platform, right? That's only on one page. Imagine joining another, two, three, four, that kind of stuff. If you own a smartphone, and according to Pew Research, 90% of all Americans do own a smartphone, that's what they claim, or if you have internet access, and they claim 95% of Americans do have internet access, then you've got the world at your fingertips. Now, that's the amazing part about it. And I have to say, that is a very, very convenient way to live. I love having the internet. Information that you'd like to have can be had in a matter of seconds. My washing machine died 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm like, oh, great, I got to go shop for a washer. I'm like, wait a second, you can fix it. You just look it up on the internet. Yep, or parts are ordered. 2 days later, voila, $30 instead of a new washing machine. I love it. Yesterday, I asked Mother Google if birds like cheese. Right? I ask everything. I'm a very inquisitive person. I have some cheese that I don't like. Well, will the birds like it? Turns out they like hard cheese, but don't give it to them. It makes their bellies hurt, right? I didn't know that before yesterday. Now I do, right? It's fascinating. I love it, right? You can find out how to fix your car, butcher a chicken, make a quilt, right? You can figure out all that kind of stuff. You can know what the media wants you to know from around the world, right? You can communicate instantly. Yeah, you can find a good restaurant, a good book. Is that movie getting good reviews? You can order anything your heart desires at the tap of the order now button, right? Place order, right? You know, so you can book an entire vacation. You can buy a car and have it delivered. You can buy a house. It's amazing what can be done with just a few taps on a screen. But that convenience comes with a price. It absolutely does. We can't have that type of access without the potential for danger. And that's exactly what the internet and social media contains. It contains the potential for danger. And with that said, I must note that it is what we make it to be, right? We are in control when it comes to logging on and what we do. The internet, social media, they're not necessarily evil in and of themselves. They are what we make them to be. It's what we choose to engage in. It's easy for some folks to just simply label the internet and social media as just it's all bad, it's evil. And it's because of all the bad stuff that's out there. And the more that's being created and uploaded every day. And so some folks go to the extreme. They just condemn the use of all that kind of stuff altogether. And then there is a lot of bad stuff. A lot of bad stuff. 40 million Americans are regular daily visitors to online pornography sites. 40 million. 155 million Americans engage in some form of online gambling. It's believed that 70% of all child trafficking victims, and there are a lot, are sold. Human beings sold online. There is most definitely evil uses of the internet and social media. But realistically, the internet and social media, they are inanimate objects to us. They're simply tools, and they can be used or misused based on the choices that you and I make. It's just like a gun is a gun. It's just laying there. It can be used for good or evil depending on the choice I make with it. They'll be whatever we decide to make of them and have them to be for us. And so with that in mind today, I want to note there are some dangers that exist in social media that are really common among all of us, the three big ones. I want to cover three temptations prevalent with online usage, that kind of stuff. That way we can examine our lives and make sure that we're going to get better usage out of such platforms in our online time. And the first temptation is to waste too much time, just too much time of being online, being engaged in social media, whatever it may be. The group Social Media Today claims that the average person spends nearly 2 hours on social media, just social media, every day. They claim that teens easily spend up to 9 hours a day connected to their platforms. Now, here's the thing. Much of that is done a little bit at a time throughout the day, right? And because of that, a lot of folks, they don't realize just how much time they waste. I usually try once a year or so to take a sabbatical for a week, just get off of it and don't touch it. And all of a sudden I realize, like, wow, I keep checking that thing a lot. And I go to check it, and go to check it. You got to take a break to realize. What happens is just a quick 5-minute check in on your Facebook page seems harmless. But when you do that 30 times a day, right, it adds up quick. But pay attention when you're driving, right? It's amazing. More and more and more people are staring at their phones instead of driving their cars, right? Now, some may be texting back and forth with others. Many of them are checking social media platforms, too. They can't even set aside the time to drive from point A to point B without checking. People are wasting time at work. They're forfeiting time with their families, sacrificing face-to-face interaction with friends, families, others. And it's all for the sake of spending time on social media. And a lot of surveys say that most Americans never felt more isolated in their lives, right? And it's because all their time goes to that. And social media is designed for that. We need to realize that. Everything that's designed for consumers is designed to get the consumers hooked and keep them hooked. That's just the way the world works, right? Facebook was designed and is continually altered also with the express purpose of making the platform more addictive. And that should not be surprising to us. Businesses design their products to increase demand as much as possible. That makes just good business sense. And so that's certainly going to apply with online platforms too. And so they're designed to require our time and attention, and what it does, it gets the temptation out there for us to spend too much time. And so we have to remember that time is a very precious commodity. We only get so much of it, and once it's gone, we can never get it back. And also, there's many things that God said we should be doing with our time. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with some leisure time. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible talks about that. But if it keeps us from doing the things God wants us to do, we have a problem. Here's a few verses that give us a warning about how we should view our time. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Colossians 4:5, again, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." And James 4:14 reminds us, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Again, social media is not inherently sinful, at least most of the sites aren't, right? But we've got to be extremely careful that we don't allow it to consume us to the point that it becomes an addiction. Time is precious and shouldn't be wasted, that's for sure. The second temptation is a big one. That is to promote oneself. Social media has given the common person something that they never had in the past, and that's a public voice. Instantly a public voice, right? In the past, the person had to have a degree of fame, right? Popularity, power, whatever it may be. They had to be well-educated or renowned for their abilities in order to have a public voice or to be in the public eye. Social media has given anyone the ability to become instant celebrities, right? It's fascinating. There's a couple guys I love to watch their videos of, and they just buy expensive cars and destroy them. Right, and that's neat, right? And so Whistling Diesel, right? And so it's like, why is this guy famous? Because online world, right? He wouldn't have been in any other media. There's no way, right? And so there's all kinds of people who become celebrities because of nothing more than their social media identity, right? And the hope for that celebrity or fame has driven many other people to promote themselves to the point where it's, well, quite frankly, disgusting. And Christians, we're not immune from this, right? There are some who can't seem to get off of the online platforms because they love all the reactions to the photos, the posts, the memes, whatever it was, right? What was once a platform simply for sharing interests with others becomes a place where a person comes to feed their ego. They come to feed their pride. And the recognition of others just becomes something so tantalizing, right? And people's lives become driven by that. That's the problem, right? And what happens is they deliberately plan out their lives, keeping in mind what they will post and wondering how many people will react to it, right? Today, I want to be told and I want reaffirmation that I'm a good mom, and so I'm going to spend time with my kid. It's only for the photo op. That's the base. There are people who can't wait to go here and they can't wait to go there. They can't wait to go on vacation or to a certain restaurant or event. But it's not just to experience those things. It's so they can tell the world they're doing great things and they can get attention. I love some of the images from concert goers, and they're all staring at the concert through their phone, right? It's like, why don't you just wait till the other people post it instead of spending money on a ticket, right? They're not experiencing life whatsoever. It's that way I can share it. And I can get attention from people. And you can see the same thing happen within the church. I've seen the same thing happen big time with preachers in the Lord's church. Some want to be known as movers and shakers in the kingdom, and so they document everything they do, everywhere they go, everything they say, things that others say about them. And it goes way beyond reporting the good news about conversions or church growth or spiritual growth. That kind of stuff can be done with humility. You know, with some, it goes to the point of arrogance and even exaggeration of the truth, and it's all in pursuit of a name. And you can tell by talking to these men in person and viewing their material, obviously, they're not really about spreading the good news. It's not just about using social media platforms to teach the Bible. Underlying all of that is a need to feed the ego. It is an ever-present temptation with these things. But the Bible addresses shameless promotion. 1 Peter 5:5 says, yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Some folks are pursuing greatness, while the Bible has called us to be humble, right? If a person doesn't use caution in their use of social media, they'll be tempted to increase perception of themselves out of pure pride. Humility has to drive our social media identity, just like our true identity. And now with that said, I have to make a very serious note here. I've had this happen where I've seen brothers who believe other brothers were posting things just to feed their ego, right? So do not automatically assume, right, that others are posting things on social media platforms in order just to self-promote or on some kind of ego trip. I just noted there's the temptation to do that, But that doesn't mean that our brothers and sisters are automatically guilty of such. Love thinks no evil, right? And so don't automatically assume the worst. There are plenty of Christians who are innocent of posting out of pride. We've got to make sure we don't get caught up in that. The third temptation is to not be kind, to not be compassionate. You log on to any social media platform, or, okay, my email is yahoo.com. Right, and so I look at the articles every morning as I scroll through there right before I play Wordle. Right, so that's my routine. Right, and so they did have the comments section shut off during the height of COVID for some reason, and you couldn't read any comments. They turned them back on. You go to any article and you go to comments, and you will see people tearing each other apart. It is fascinating, and it's the same with all the other social media places, right? And so, log on to any platform, and in seconds you can come across arrogant, mean-spirited, downright hateful comments. People turn into total jerks when they can hide behind the keyboard. Keyboard warriors, that's the nickname for those type of people. You find any post that expresses an opinion, makes a statement about anything, especially if it's politics, religion, or social in nature, and you'll probably find many responses where people will express their opposition, but they do so with pure hate and vitriol. Even New Testament Christians fight with each other over many things. Yeah, you state Church of Christ Moms or whatever it is on Facebook, right? And you state an opinion about homeschooling or vaccinations or whatever, and members of the Church of Christ will come out there and they'll just start fighting each other just like the world. Fascinating. It's terrible. You'll read comments that are nowhere near like what Christ would do. I've seen preachers attack other preachers over things as simple as what sermon style they like. No, you're doing it wrong, and I don't know if you're a benefit to the church if you're not preaching expository sermons. I think you should quit. What? How mean-spirited can you be, right? Christians will tear each other apart over the Bible translations to use. I mean, you think about how many churches split and divide and they fight over stupid stuff, things that don't matter, like color of carpet. Well, now I can argue with somebody across the world. I can argue with everybody. We're all online. I got a whole bunch of new people to argue with, right? It's shameful. It's shameful the way that some people choose to treat one another. Now, one reason people do that is because they have a heart problem, right? That's where we check first. Make sure we don't have a heart problem. But what has allowed that to come out is the temptation to think that it's okay online. Like I can get away with it there. It's just pixels on a screen. There's no sense of accountability. And so folks will say things that they would never say to another person's face, or they'll say things about other people that they would never speak about if they were talking one-on-one. Society is facing an onslaught of cyberbullying because of this, right? Guard Child reports that more than half of adolescents and teens have been bullied online. And the thing is, about the same number, about half have also engaged and admitted, I've cyberbullied other people. And that's led to a significant increase in violence, also in suicide. But adults are just as guilty of mistreating one another. So social media has given the common man a voice, right? And with that, it's also given him the idea that he has the right to say whatever he wants, regardless of how petty, mean-spirited, hate-filled it may be. Again, the Bible gives us warnings regarding the way that we are to communicate. James 3, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And it's so much easier if I can just sit there and type it out. Right? Ephesians 4. It says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Then verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. It is just absolutely shameful the way that some people choose to speak to or about others on social media simply because they can do it from a distance. Christians can and should and must do better. So those are three really big temptations that we face as soon as we get online, right? Wasting too much time, we can never recover. Shameless self-promotion, feeding our ego and pride, and just plain old being mean-spirited. I'm sure there's others that we could flesh out, but instead, I've seen some really good new rules for engaging social media. I want to share those as we finish today. And they'll help us to have a positive influence in our online world. And the first is it true? Is it true? Did you know that not everything you see on the internet is true? It's true. It's not all true, right? We live in a world where anybody can build a website, Photoshop a picture, or attribute a false quote to some reputable person. And now with AI, good luck. Good luck knowing if it's true or not, what's real or not. As Christians, we should be concerned with reflecting what is true at all times. And that means fact-checking, researching, making sure that anytime we share it's accurate or we don't post it at all. If people see us sharing stuff that's not true, what are they going to believe us when we start talking about what's truth from God's word? Right? Next, is it noble? People used to be concerned about being honorable. They want to be respected and decent, have a good reputation. It needs to be asked, well, what does this post or comment say about me? That's going to help determine whether or not it's honorable. Is it just? And another way to ask that, is it fair? Is it right? Right? We say we come to some conclusion about something or someone that we see online. We make a judgment call or call someone else's judgment into question, whatever it may be. We need to ask, well, with what rationale have I based my assessment upon, right? Comments on social media, what happens is I find this, is people often just assume the worst. They just assume the worst. It's horrible to see what they do. But biblical love dictates that we assume the best until proven otherwise. And so the way people treat us and treat each other, that ought to be a big deal to us. And so we should stop and say, is what I'm about to post or share, is this right? Is it fair? A fourth one, is it pure? Impure comments, impure things that we share come from impure thoughts, can only come from impure hearts and minds, right? Jesus said those things that defile a man come out of him. Right? What a person chooses to share on social media is a reflection of their heart. That's ultimately what it is, right? They put their heart, their character on full display with what they post. Pure hearts produce pure thoughts, produce pure things. Is it lovely, right? And so the things that we choose to share and say, they can be lovely when they reflect beautiful truths, right? When we encourage, build up, strengthen, not destroy and tear down. And six, is it commendable? Is it admirable? Is it of good report? Things that are a good report, they're productive, right? Things of a good report, though, they'll never be hateful or spoken in anger. And so, like Paul wrote here, think on those things. Think, use your head, right? That's what we've got to do. And really, in using our head, the bottom line is this. Are we posting something? Are we engaging in something? Are we viewing something that we're okay with God seeing and reading, right? We know this. Would we be happy for God to see it? Or would we be ashamed? Oh, we know, right? We know. Intellectually, we know, but we've got to remember this when we're logged on, right? God knows every comment posted, every word said, every picture, every video, every private message. He sees it all. The internet and social media can be such great tools. It, like many other tools in this world, has a great deal of potential for good if we choose to use it that way. So let's not fall prey to the temptations that are common to all men. Let's remember that it is what it is, or what we can do with it, what limitations we should put into place when dealing with it. Make sure we guard our hearts, our eyes, our minds, that we may do better for the glory of God. Let us stand and sing.